Praise the Lord. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We were just singing, he's been so good. He's been so good. Not you been, but he's been so good to me. To me. And many times, if we would chart it up, could we compare our goodness to God's goodness? No, we can't. Because God has been just that good. I want to give first honor to God for blessing me to be here on today. Thank him for his goodness, his kindness, his mercy that's everlasting, for his long suffering with me. Have you thought about that? How God is long suffering with you? How he puts up with you? We as parents sometimes, our children get on our nerve. We're like, oh, you get on my nerve. Oh, like, call my name one more time and it's going to be something up in here. God never acts that way with us. Because when we call his name, he answers. No matter how many times you call his name, he answers. You say, Jesus, he like, what? Jesus, huh? Jesus, what? Jesus, I'm listening. When you call his name, he responds. So I thank God for being here today. I thank God for our pastor, Pastor Stevens, Dr. Stevens. Come on, give him a hand. And for Pastor Sharon Stevens. Amen. Pastor Sharon called me this morning and prayed with me, and that was an honor for her encouraging words. And yesterday, I got surprised. I'm going to think twice about coming to another leadership meeting. It was after the leadership meeting I was asked to stand in his place. I'm honored to stand here. It's an honor to be asked because you are a great people of God. You are God's jewels. And everybody knows jewels are priceless. And so I thank God for this opportunity. I won't be before you long. They say I have 20 minutes, but I tell you, you know, most time when the parents are away, you know, you kind of relax and do your, you know, you feel real good. You're like, oh, I don't have to pick up things right now. I can just let this stay here. Don't have to wash the dishes right now. I can get to it later because mom and dad ain't here. Well, today is going to be like, you know, when you was in school and they had early dismissal. You know how y'all like that early dismissal? Like, ooh, yeah, I ain't got to be here long. Well, you can lift your hands and say, we ain't going to be here long. Okay, if you are, they because of mother, because I'm going to go when I finish it. And we say amen, mother gonna get in her car and go on home. Y'all can talk as long as you want to. And the Lord bless you, okay? All right. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love my pastor and first lady. But most of all, I like y'all. I do. I like everybody here. I may not know you by name, but I like you. I have no reason to dislike you, and there's too much energy to dislike you. And as I age, I need all the energy I can get. I need all my energy. I thank the Lord for my family. They couldn't be with me today. I have a family that's full of ministry. My daughter and my husband, everybody had some ministry thing going on today. And I was going to be part of it till Pastor pulled that fast one yesterday. So they're not able to be here today. But I thank God for a praying family. I thank God for a praying husband. Been married 40 years. 40. I don't care what y'all see on TV, they lying, okay? Yeah, that's 30 minutes of happiness, and it's scripted, let me tell you. It's scripted. And if you take out the commercials, it's only 15 minutes. All right, so, okay. But I thank God for my husband. Thank God for the test of life itself. It has nothing to do with marriage. If you were by yourself, you tested. So don't blame that man. Don't blame that woman. That's that life covenant. So I won't be before you long. I'm going to talk to you just shortly. And today, I'm going to put you in a little mind of thinking. But before I do, I want to say to you, Brother Mark, I'm praying for you. It's one thing when you have your children present and their soul is lost until they give God a yes. But it's another thing when your child is absent and you can't touch them. But I'm praying for you. Okay. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. All day I love him. All day I love him. All day I love him. Bless his name. Do you love him? All day I him all day. I love him all day. I love him. Bless his name. His name. His name, his name, bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless his name. Today we're going to talk real quick. We're going to talk about harvest. When we think of harvest, most of us think of gathering before the winter. But there is also harvest for spring, harvest for summer, harvest for fall. The fall harvest consists of pumpkins, cranberries, turnips, eggplants, squash, zucchini, beets, and much more. Winter crops harvest is carrots, broccoli, spinach, cabbage, Brussels sprouts. Spring crop harvest is peas, radishes, scallions, cilantro, asparagus, artichokes, and greens. Summer crops is tomatoes, potatoes, cucumbers, sweet corn, beans, okra, and peppers. See, I was careful in my selection because church is the most place where people get hungry and sleepy. So the things that I said didn't make you hungry, because those are most things that people who watch their figure is what they eat. Now, my sister over here, I ain't gonna call no name, but I said something that made her like, oh yeah, that's good. So most of us would, if I said watermelon, they were like, oh yeah. And then church about this time is so amazing. Our stomach, we start thinking about what I'm gonna eat when I get out of church. And you can only think of that because it's harvest. Harvest time. Some of the vegetables are harvest more in more than one season. That's why we find them in our grocery store year round. And some of these that I call are harvest in certain months because they are more flavorful. Our scripture text for this morning is St. Matthew's, the 9th chapter, verses 35 through 38. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. And oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Thank God for you that's viewing online. I thank God for you. Pray for me. And the scripture reads, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." That's what Jesus said. Our subject today is harvest time in a changed culture. Harvest time in a changed culture. Did you know that every time you leave home, you just step into the harvest? Every time you leave your house, you have just stepped into your harvest. Harvest defined as the process or period of gathering crops. And we are laborers. We are who Christ have decided that we are to gather the crops. It's us. There's no one else. It is us. The harvest is still ripe in a changed culture. So here we are, church. The world is the harvest and we are the laborers collecting what was planted. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." All of us as believers are laborers. But the problem is, yeah, we plant. Yeah, we water. But then many of us fail to gather the increase which are ready for harvesting. Many of us are ready for the results of the harvest that's planted, but we won't go out and get it, which causes lack. The church is not filled because we won't go get the harvest. Yep. It's quiet, but it's all right. Why is that? Because the culture of many have changed. The culture of our churches have changed. Many of us have compromised our parenting. You know, we ask our children, you going to church today? Not when I was coming up. That wasn't my, I never heard that question come out my parents' mouth. Never did my parents ask me, you going to church today? We knew what time Sunday school start and church start. They didn't even wake you up. You knew what time to be ready. And you never said, give me a minute. Most of us, we're more late as we grown than when we were children. Really? Couldn't be late. I grew up in the country, so I know about planting and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you about this parenting thing. My daddy name was Leslie. My mama name was Geneva. And so we live maybe a half a mile from the church, or maybe even a mile. But daddy would get up and sometimes he would say, hit the floor. You know what that means, get up. But one thing about my father, Deacon Leslie Gray, we never knew when he was going to drive to church or he was going to walk to church. So when he drove to church, we all got in the car. But when daddy started whistling and put that hat on and you heard him walk out that door, he said, I'm walking to church. That was your cue. And that meant, you better be at church the same time I get to church. And it was a dirt road. They didn't pave the road. So you thought you had a little time. And so daddy be walking and whistling and singing. And here we come running, passing him up, trying to get to church either before him or with him. This was the problem. If you got there before him or with him, you bet not have dust on your shoes and you bet not be sweating. Because that tell him you didn't leave on time. That's how it was in my house. And that was for Sunday school. Wasn't y'all go to Sunday school and I be there? No. We was in Sunday school. We were there. So there was no compromise in parenting. We compromise in teaching our children to respect authority figures, even when it comes to the grandparents. You as the parent are to teach your child how to respect their grandparent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk back? Oh, no. We compromise. We ask if your child did something, you ask the child, did you say that? Did you do that? My mama never asked. If someone came and told her something, they like, we gonna handle it. Come here. I'm gonna get you when you get home. But not today. We ask our children, did you do that? Did you meant to say that? Did you hear what your grandmother said? Most of our grandmothers would have got us before our parents could. You'd be like, I'd rather my mama to get me than my grandmother, because grandmother had a hand, right? So we compromise in this culture. We have not taught our children how to respect authority, be it the police, be it the firemen, be it the cashier at the grocery store, just no respect. We have compromised godly standards, morality, reading the word, having a prayer life, and living holy. And now if we're not careful, we will join society in calling wrong right and right wrong. We will join society in, according to the law of the land and the Supreme Court, right is wrong and wrong is right. We're being taught subconsciously how to compromise. And we have accepted the way the culture has changed. So much till we become a people of silence, afraid of speaking out because we're afraid of going or being taken to court. You know, when I was coming up and had a job, they would tell you, you can't mention Jesus on the job, but you can tell your dirty joke and ain't nobody. They don't care about you being offended by what they say, but you can't mention Jesus. You could lose your job. We have been subconsciously, slowly being changed by the culture. Some of us are afraid of even because of our friends that stigmatize you and identify you as someone who is against what is right. Some of us don't want to admit that we got off course because that was not the way we were raised. This is not what we were taught to do. We try to fit in. Peter tried it. He sure did. And the people called him out. Society has no problem with calling you out. You know that, right? You with your saved self. They act like they don't know that you're saved, but mess up and watch how they start talking about you. And the first thing they say, I thought you were saved. So that lets you know they're watching. They said to Peter, weren't you with Jesus? You know, you've been at a family reunion and your loved one cursed, and they say, oh, excuse me. And we like, no, that's okay. No, it's not. Society slowly changing us to fit in their spot. They say, oh, yes, you was. Your speech betrayed you. Okay, for y'all saved folks up in here, let's talk about it. You ever tried to curse and it didn't sound right even to you before somebody else said something? Oh, don't sit in here and say you ain't said nothing. The devil is a lie. Oh, yeah. I didn't ask you to raise your hand. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Mm-hmm. Before you got married, before you got saved, and since you've been saved, yes, you said it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm among the real saved folks. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, your friends didn't know you had fallen off course. Your friends didn't know you had fallen away and didn't realize, you didn't realize, that one decision that you made changed you to the point you didn't even recognize yourself or where you was at. Instead of harvesting the crop for God intended, you now have become the crop being ungodly harvested by others. You the crop of the world, pulling you in and persuading you. Even though we go out and gather the harvest, and Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, He also said the laborers are few. We're not few in number in here today. It's enough in here to fill up this church. If you harvest too, and you harvest too, and you harvest too, and you harvest too, it's enough to fill up the church. God is sending the crop right into the church now because we won't go out. Are we truly prepared and ready for the harvest? The crops I listed in each season may not be what you like. You may not like beets. I don't either. But still, they are needed to be gathered. God did not call us to be laborers of only what looked like us. The harvest won't look like us. The harvest may be tatted up, and it is. They got tattoos all over, but they have a soul. The harvest may wear jeans, colored hair, natural hairstyles like I'm wearing today, dreads, piercings. And that is the harvest that God sent you out to gather. The thing is, it makes you uncomfortable to be around those people. But God word your mouth for those people. Well, I don't go to those places. You go to the grocery store. Every time you step out your house, you just stepped into the field to harvest. We used to harvest by going door to door with the evangelism team. We don't do that hardly anymore. But what God decided, I'm going to send them in. The Bible says he added to the church daily. So when God sent them in, what you do? Look at them. Move your purse. Scoot over. Tell your child, sit on this side. Because they don't look like us. And the truth of the matter is, if you check your inside, you look just like them. You look just like them. Or worse. The person who you call best friend really don't know all about you. Some things that you know about yourself, that if the Lord will open them up, I don't know if they will be your best friend anymore. Because we are tatted up, torn up from the inside out. We come in looking wonderful, but there's a harvest out there waiting for you. You have the words to say. God has given you the power and the authority to glean in the crop. Yes, he did. We are so accustomed to people looking sort of like us. Not exactly like us, but sort of like us, and we're comfortable. But we must be prepared for the harvest that he sends in. Jesus commanded his disciples in Luke 5 and 4. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. See, that's another kind of harvest. When we think about harvest, we always think about land, but it went even into the sea. And when they launched out their net, the net filled up with so many fishes that it broke. Do you remember that? But the Bible never said that all the fishes were the same. Wasn't the same looking fish. Wasn't the same kind of fish. But they were fishes. And it was enough for them to pull in and make a living off of. So when you go out, you will collect things that don't look like you. You will touch somebody that don't look like you. You even talk to somebody who won't even talk like you. But it's your job as the laborer to tell them about the Jesus in you. You don't have to open up a Bible and say, read this. Tell them about the goodness of God in you, what he's done for you, how he delivered you from your evil self, from the enemy in me. He saved me from the enemy in me. The bad choices that I made that caused me to come off course. But the good news is he have people like you to help pull us back together and to bring in those that never saw the church. I have a family member that's never been saved a day in his life. So I don't want you to be discouraged about nobody wants Jesus. Yes, they do. Never been saved a day in his life. But just a couple of months ago, at the age of 70 plus, he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Do you not know how many times we've witnessed and talked and prayed and said, yeah, he listened. He was good. His wife was saved. But just a few months ago, he was baptized and he gave his life to Christ. So don't you think that it's all about saving the youth. It's some of us that's old that need Christ too. Everyone needs Christ. So as I close, I told y'all we're getting out here early. We must remember, if we are to be successful at gathering God's harvest, the church must remain being faithful, being loving. We have many people that come in and visit our church, and they are watching how we interact with one another before they make a decision and say, I'm going to join this church. Yep. We have to make sure that we're being loving and being open to whosoever will, let them come. And when they come, embrace them. Love on them. Ask them what their name is. I can't say that you're afraid to ask them their name, because Facebook, Instagram, TikTok did away with all that kind of stuff. Y'all be on there, you don't even know people and be sending messages, so I don't buy that. Oh, yeah. Y'all make friends on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, all that. So much talking, but nobody's talking about Christ. So many messages. So many DMs that you can't keep up with them all, but ain't nobody mentioning Christ. Your friends on Facebook don't know you saved. God made it convenient for us to even gather the harvest that way, through technology. But they see everything else that you put on there, and everything that you laugh at. I'm afraid to talk to somebody about Christ. I'm afraid. I don't talk to people, but you on that Facebook. Your phone even tell you how much screen time you've been on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's real quiet now. If we can check your FaceTime record on your phone, if I say, pull out your phone, let's, go to screen time. Let's check. You know when you were in school, how your teacher say, pull out your homework. I'm coming by to check it. If I said, pull out your phone, let me check your FaceTime, you like, I don't know what she think I am. Who is she? That's my personal business. God got your personal business. He got your FaceTime. He got your screen time. He got all your screen time, and he got a record. The Bible says there is three that bear record. I don't have to know what you do, but the Bible says it's three that bear record. So every time you on Facebook, Instagram, chit chat, or you walking, God gives you opportunity in the grocery store. People that don't even know you will say, "Hey, how you doing?" God just opened that door for you. Yes, he did. And you say, "Oh, I'm fine." And we scared to say, "God bless you." And I know we had that moment in church where we were so deep. "How are you? Blessed and highly favored." Girl, calm down, calm down. Sit that down somewhere. Blessed and highly favored, favored of the Lord. Whoo, hallelujah. Sit down. Start with a common conversation and ease into it. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. You know how you used to do a long time ago, and I'm about through. You'll get a knock on the door. Used to be the mother people. I ain't gonna call no name. The initials JW. And you wouldn't and you wouldn't answer the door. Because they could out talk you. That was your opportunity. But we wouldn't answer the door. Oh, if we did, we open and say, "I'm saved. I don't need that. God bless you." Boom. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they were faithful. They come every week. You didn't open that door last week. You didn't open that door last month, but they come again. Here they come again. Canvassing the neighborhood. Trying to convince you. But you say what's in you is more powerful than what they have. I invited one up men. She said, "Do you have coffee?" I said, "No, I'm just serving Jesus today." She said, "You don't like coffee?" "Yeah, I used to like it, but I'm just doing Jesus today." "You want to talk? Let's talk." "How much time do you have?" I said, "Oh, I got all the time for Jesus." "How much time you got?" "Well, here's a little pamphlet." "No, I'm not reading that." And I said, "What? Where is that?" "Hold up." I said, "This is what I'm reading today. I'm reading everything in red letter, what Jesus said. You want to talk?" "Well, it's been nice." I said, "Yes, ma'am, it has. Let me help you to the door." And she left. I never got that knock on the door again. So I'm going to say to you as I close, I'm not going to tell you to look at your neighbor. I'm not that kind of girl. I've said in church and they say, "Look at your neighbor." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm not." "Talk to your neighbor." I'm like, "No, I don't feel like talking to my neighbor either." "Grab your neighbor by the hand and pray for him." I'm like, "No, that's what they flew you in and paid you for." "No, I ain't gonna do that either." So I'm not gonna ask you to look at your neighbor. I'm not gonna ask you that. But I'm gonna tell you, ask yourself, "Am I ready for the harvest? Am I a laborer? Am I guilty of being a laborer? Have I been lacking in being a laborer, in gathering the harvest? Do I realize when I leave my home, I place myself in the position of the farmer, the gatherer, the laborer who is responsible for harvesting the crop, which is the spiritual souls of men and women, boys and girls?" I pray today as we leave that we are more attentive to gathering and reaching those who are waiting, and more compassion, move with compassion, just as they were in Jesus' day. In verse 36, he said, he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Know that you have people that are fainted. Once loved God, but because of different things, caused them to start sliding back. It's not just for the sinners that we're gathering. We're gathering those that left and need to come back. Those that fainted because of hardships, because of lost loved ones, because of life itself, and because some has just never heard anybody witness to them about Christ. There are many. The world is full of them. So as you leave here today, I commission you, my brothers and my sister, be guilty of gathering the harvest. Be guilty of being said that, let your coworker say that it's something about you. I just don't know. But it's something about you that's different. Another door open to tell them about the true and living God. Another door that's open. And if you miss that door, you know as soon as you miss it. Because when you get in the car, Holy Ghost wreck you up. The Holy Ghost just ride you all the way home. Right? I mean, the Holy Ghost, every which way you turn like that, you should have said something that was, and you're like, Lord, if I see her again, I'm going to tell him, the Lord, like, we missed that one. So now I got to give it to someone else. Make sure you don't miss your opportunity to harvest your crop. Because he's going to reward you. He's not going to reward you by being in here and hucking him. That looks good. But you can do it if you got a harvest. Ain't a dance like a dance when you didn't harvest. Y'all think the farmers were sad when they got their harvest? No. Remember the parable? That man filled up his barns and said, oh, we finna eat and be good. And the Lord said, today, I require your soul. Y'all remember that? Don't you be that. Don't you be that one. You can stand to your feet. We done. And it's 12:30. Oh, y'all ain't gonna even clap your hands. Praise the Lord. This is never an easy assignment because I don't take talking to God's people as just a normal conversation. When pastors stand up or whoever stand up behind here, this is a time of instruction, a time of encouragement. That's what this is. You anxious to hold this thing here, you can have it. There comes an assignment when you stand before the people of God, and God expects you to fulfill your assignment, to instruct, to encourage, to offer Christ, to offer deliverance, to offer healing. Remember, there is nothing that I just mentioned that you are not experienced. I've experienced salvation. I've experienced deliverance. I've experienced healing. I've experienced encouragement. And it all wasn't pretty things, I need deliverance because I don't like my neighbor. No, it was a little more deeper than that. I needed healing. It wasn't because I was sick in my body. I was sick in my soul. That sickness. That's the harvest. People are sick in their souls. And every one of us in here are doctors to administer healing. And if you don't do it, shame on you. Why would you be encouraged to see someone sick and not offer healing? How could you just be okay and say maybe somebody else would get them? Deeply wounded. God gave you the spirit of discernment and you discern it, but I'm afraid to say, no. God did not raise coward soldiers. It don't have to be on display. A simple touch, just reaching over and grabbing that sister by the hand or that brother. And don't just say, I'm praying for you. No. Pray right then. If someone saw you bleeding, you don't want them to say, oh, I'll call 911. You be all right. Praise the Lord. No. You take the time to stop the bleeding. We got bleeding souls. And they're afraid to show you where they cut. Be open. Be forgiving. Let them know I'm just a vessel used by God, willing to heal you where you hurt. He will use me. He will use you. Anybody willing to be used?